The 1 to 2 hour is brought to you by the Seminole Hard Rock Poker Room at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
Stay up and watch that game.
We're still talking about it.
Well, Matt, so by the way, in for Tobin for another day as well. Today and tomorrow, Tobin will be back at some point. He's enjoying a vacation
next week,
listening to the show.
No, he's taking part in the company policy, use it or lose it.
It's a good policy. You know, so funny. That's one policy I've never had to be told to do. I will use it. And sometimes I'll try to use a little bit more than I have, and they'll have to come to me and say, hey, you know, wait a minute, you know, you took a little extra vacation.
I would never use it. I'll use it every day here, day there.
No.
I love my days off.
I don't get enough of them this time of year, but I love my days off.
I need something to do.
Thanks for rolling in, Beast. Beast is ready. Beast was doing his corporate stuff, so he
No,
was,
he wasn't. No,
yeah,
he wasn't.
Was. I saw him typing. I saw him typing.
I was actually doing corporate stuff. There were spreadsheets out. There was
the
calendars.
The one time.
I did see an Excel or some kind of a app or some sort of thing out there. All right, so we need a spreadsheet to figure out what happened last night in that game.
No, we don't.
Jesus.
I mean,
my God.
The great thing about it is that I watched that game and got so frustrated at times with...
The penalties?
Yeah, that. But I was thinking to myself, one, if I'm a defensive coordinator, under no circumstances is Tyreek Hill going to be running down the field by himself.
Well, right. So I last night we had a nice little event. I watched the game with former Kane Damian Lewis, who actually used to play for the Rams, and a bunch of other guys. And at one point, I turned to Damian. And I'm like, "How are they just open? Like, how are their guys just?
Let me tell you how
running through the middle.
No,
of the field
I can.
Just
I can
open.
Tell you.
Yeah.
Here's what Kansas City and the Rams do that drives defenses crazy. One. You ever notice none of the receivers are ever wide? They're all bunched together. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a team that plays man, try playing man when before one step into the route, all the receivers are crisscrossing.
Well, Sam Shields. Oh, poor Sam Shields.
Oh, yeah, Sam, I mean, I felt bad because all the corners played pretty poorly yesterday.
Well, you can't coach 4-2.
It's hard.
So you can coach a lot of things. You can't coach 4-2. So when those legs start going, and you realize you're at about 4-4, and the guy you chasing has gone by you, and there's no way you're going to catch him. So I, like, yeah. But as far as entertainment value, the only thing that I was a little annoyed by was the stoppage of play with the penalties.
Yeah, that was I thought the crew was awful. But I thought there were penalties that were obviously penalties. I mean, look, in the course
right.
of the game, you're going to have them. But I thought the crew was... It's almost like they couldn't keep up with the speed of the game. Like they, and none of us could, which I know we'll talk about it a few times throughout the show, but I think it's a good place to start. I had so many people say to me that it was bad football.
No, it wasn't.
And my thing was, how is it bad football? Because here's the thing. It's innovative football that no one else in the league can do. And in a way, it reminded me of the Warriors and the teams in the NBA that could play.
You know,
everybody's trying to play with pace now.
Here was a talk last night. This is just to bring it back home and make you feel worse about yourself. Is it really looked like a Pac-12 college football game. And then that got us talking to about how college offenses have been able to get that where guys are just open and there's space. And then that brought us back to how come the Canes can't do that.
Yeah,
well,
but see,
here's
I don't
why.
Compare college. I can't go ahead. I can't compare college.
No, just that style of game.
If you pay attention to the first two or three games of the year,
mm-hmm.
that's what the Dolphins were doing. Like, you don't need long passes to, you know, they did it with short passes. That's what they were. Those two teams did everything they could to get their fast guys the ball.
Yeah.
And they crisscrossed them. They ran them all over the field. And you're talking about Kansas City still doing it with one of the best pass rushes in the game. They just get rid of it quick. They change it up. They roll them out. They move the quarterback around. And early in the year, That's what the Dolphins were trying to do.
And that's
what,
look, you don't think Adam Gase watched that game last night and said, oh, my God, this is what I want with my team. I just want to be able to be creative and line guys up. Now, part of it is maybe Gase not using his personnel right. Part of it is the fact they don't have the personnel these teams have, which obviously is a front office issue in getting the proper players to play this type
and
of system.
And the personnel gets hurt.
Like, when you had a Jakeem Grant and Albert Wilson, two guys that could kind of play to that style, then they get hurt. And then all of a sudden, now you're stuck with hoping Devontae Parker can redeem his career and stuff like that.
Good luck
like,
on that.
Yeah, so it's a matter of personal and style. But what I'm saying is it's great football. It's innovative football. And just like in the NBA where teams are trying to catch up, the same thing's happened in the NFL. The other teams aren't not having this style because they don't want to. They just can't. And defenses, and this is why I don't compare it to college, Beast. In colleges, you're going to have, look, most rosters in college have, what, a handful of guys at most, even at the elite of teams, that are going to be NFL players. On an NFL roster, you have all NFL players. These are all the best of the best with NFL coaches that know how to do stuff. Defenses will eventually figure out over the next couple of years how to combat and try.
Well, like New England stopped Kansas City.
Yeah, and the best of Belichick is a defensive mind. The best of coaches, would it shock you at all if the Chiefs didn't make the Super Bowl? Would it shock you?
Well, the Rams, didn't make it last year.
That's what I'm saying. Well, but they progressed. And look, they've got to go through the Saints. We saw that matchup.
Nothing
recently
would shock me in the NFL any given Sunday, buddy.
Here's what people don't understand. Here's what people don't understand that teams and players understand. Every week is unique to that week. I don't mean as far as talent, but the way the game is going to be played, whether it's weather conditions, whether it's what's going to work and doesn't work, whether it's going to be a high-scoring game or a low-scoring game, every week is different. So, you know, one week you might score 50, and the next week you might win 13-6. Now, you don't think that's going to happen with these two teams, but sometimes you have a slugfest, and it's a grinded-out game, and you just have to accept that. It doesn't mean anything about your team except they can win a number of ways.
Yeah, and by the way, last night's not the norm. I mean, we acted like if ever I kept getting the, this is like arena football or this isn't real football. I mean, NFL games, this is not what the NFL's becoming. This is what these teams can do when opposing defenses just can't figure it out. You saw the Saints, their punters punted one time in 2 weeks. They went and they took, and I know the Eagles have struggled and I know that they have injuries as well, but the Saints absolutely destroyed the defending Super
Killed
Bowl champs.
Them, yeah.
Scored a touchdown on every possession, I think, except one. Right. Didn't punt, just destroyed them. I don't think the Eagles are a bad team. I mean, they've obviously struggled. The Saints are just that innovative in Sean Payton's system with Drew Brees, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. They just are unstoppable right now. But that's not, look, we think it's going to be, watch the other NFL games this weekend and see if it's anything like that. It's not. All right, Peace, give us some headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com station.
All right, we got some breaking heat news. Dwayne Wade, back from paternity leave, will play tonight against the Brooklyn Nets, 7:30 tip time. 6:30, we'll have it right here on the ticket. So good to see Dwayne Wade back in the fold. On the other hand, Tyler Johnson is out with a hamstring strain.
Is anybody else perturbed that he came back one game late?
No, he can do whatever the hell he wants.
I know, but I mean, I would rather miss another week or so than to come back one game after LeBron game, which is so close. I mean,
what do you think? What was he going to do with LeBron other than get dunked on?
You know what? Yeah. I mean, I feel like he was like, you know what?
It would have raised the intensity of the game.
Yeah. For who? LeBron?
LeBron at 51.
He would have scored 60.
Yeah. You think Dwayne Wade would have been the LeBron stopper?
I mean, it would have been a different game. LeBron would have played the game emotionally. Dwayne Wade would have been there. Would have been the same LeBron. No. He would have been all messed up.
Here's what would have happened.
Robbie, kick
you ready? They shoot up a shot. They're off to the races. Woo-woo!
Yeah, that's look. I'm glad. I'm glad Dwayne's back. They need him. They really missed him. And Leroy and I, and we'll talk about this more. I'll let you continue headlines. But it's pretty scary when your most important player and the guy that you need to be consistent down the stretch and finish games is your 36-year-old playing his final year that you, a couple years ago, parted ways with and now have come back for a reunion.
So, Tyler. He's out with a hamstring.
No Goran.
No Goran. He got his knee drained. Mm-hmm. So, where the heater...
No Deion already, as we know. And then JJ, obviously, is back.
Yeah, they are ailing. They will play the Nets tonight at American Airlines Arena. Another basketball note. J.R. Smith says the Cavs are tanking and any talk of them making the playoffs is not true.
Oh, God.
I mean, this goes
you know
back
who
to
just
my,
text me.
It goes back to the theory of tanking.
Minus one, Leroy. He blocked LeBron. He blocked LeBron twice last
Tobin,
week.
You're on vacation.
I mean, that's a fact.
You do not get to take away points when you're on damn vacation.
You don't get hot take.
Go play with your kids.
That Cavs team scored 79 points in that game last year. He's a difference maker.
Stop.
I mean,
bringing up facts. I mean, look.
What is that? You know what? That's not an indictment. That's not an indictment on D Wade. Oh, that's an indictment on the rest of the team.
Correct.
If he has to be that guy.
So J.R. Smith says the Cavs are tanking. That was always the plan. They're not going to make their any talk of them make the playoffs is not is lies. Lies.
Really?
Yep.
We know J.R.
Yeah, we know.
Not just that, they stink. Tanking,
right.
Tanking is you stink.
Right.
So that's why I was telling you yesterday that when Heat fans scream at me like, we need to tank, I'm like, guys, they're 6-10. They're kind of doing it on their own right now. They obviously don't want to be bad, but they're losing games. Tanking is losing games.
They're going to get Zion, aren't they?
The Heat?
No, the Cavs.
The Cavs have a great lottery look.
I mean, they look like the team that's going to position themselves
they
the best.
They got to send the little kid with glasses. That looks like
Gilbert's son.
Yeah, no, Gilbert. He looks like what's that show that comes on after the nerd show? You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
With the blonde chick and the three dudes, the three nerds,
the Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. Little Sheldon. That's who he looks like.
Okay. In other news, not good news for the Panthers last night. He got a win, but lost Vinny Trocheck surgery today to repair significant damage to his leg.
Did you watch the play or hear it? I should say, did you hear the play?
No, I didn't hear it.
So last night I went to go edit the highlights of it, and I had seen on Twitter that he got hurt, and then I saw the tweet, the Panthers saying he's out, and I heard people saying it was awful. The injury itself, when you see it in real speed, it's hard. It's not one of those like where you see the leg snap, and you know it happens so fast he gets crashed up against the board. But it was really quiet when it happened. All you heard, I mean, on the telecast was him screaming like he was dying in pain, and it was echoing. You could hear it throughout. It was the oddest thing because usually you don't hear that in a telecast. And right away,
I'm watching the video right now, and you can see him screaming.
Yes, but if you hear it in the break, listen to it, and it was excruciating. I heard it, and I didn't want to hear it again because I couldn't imagine the pain the poor guy was suffering at that moment. And you could see everybody rushing over.
I know it's a leg injury. They didn't say like broken, dislocated. No,
if he had to have surgery,
they said it was a significant, not a short term injury. So that's what the Panthers said.
So he probably had. I mean, he probably broke a fibula or tibia,
torn ligaments, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So that's basically the news of what's going on.
Forgot Maxion, you know. The last time of the year.
Well, I was going to let you...
Is this the last time for Maxion?
Yeah, not until next October.
Bowl season
starts. No, we do have... Wait a minute. Oh, you know what? Stupid ESPN. I clicked on stupid men's basketball. I was like, wait, there's all sorts of college action right now. No, Ball State, Miamiville, Ohio, Northern Illinois, Western Michigan. That's your Maxion tonight, right?
Mock Rock.
By the way, just a quick finish your headline.
Mm-hmm.
All the Dolphins beat writers, Armando, Beasley, all those guys, I'm going to get them all since I'm reading all their tweets. Saying that Ryan Tannehill is currently throwing passes in warm-ups today, right now at Dolphins camp.
So that's good. So
that's a good sign.
He wasn't as sore. He had very little soreness, and now you wait until tomorrow. And I think what they'll do is he will probably warm up. He's probably still not.
They're going to call him a game time decision, won't they?
Tomorrow, he'll throw again.
By the way, to answer B's question though, before I forget, Gay said yesterday that they don't want this dragging into Friday, wondering what he's going to
be. So I'm telling
they want to know. I think I have a feeling that tomorrow Gase is going to say he's playing or he's not playing.
Right.
They don't want to drag it out.
Gonna say he's not playing.
What they'll do he'll practice today, full go. Then he'll go out to practice tomorrow, and they'll make the determination then. And then they'll give him the rest of the week off.
Oh, you didn't headline that Adrian Beltre is retiring after 21 seasons in Major League Baseball.
All I can think of when I say Adrian Beltre, what do you think?
The stuff with he can't touch his head.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's how I know.
They had a stat today. I think it was Jason Stark. He had over 3,100 hits and like almost 500 home runs and five gold gloves. Anyways, the only two players to have those numbers for their career
is it Musial and Aaron?
Him. And Willie Mays, which is crazy.
Don't think of him as Willie Mays type.
He started at 19 and played till 40.
Someone wants me to bend the knee to UCF. I have no problem admitting that UCF is really good and they probably deserve to be in the consideration. Also, get in a real conference and play somebody. Well, your biggest wins this year are Pitt and Cincinnati.
I will say this, though. I will say this. They tried.
What if Miami doesn't beat Pitt?
Yeah.
Miami's
bad anyways. But yeah, here's my point.
Like, what do you want
to
say?
I will say this for UCF. Let me play the defender of UCF. It's hard to schedule those games ahead of time. You know, you schedule what you can. They did schedule, like, for instance, North Carolina this year. It got canceled, right? I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it did.
North Carolina's a team that it's hit or miss. You play North Carolina at the right year. Maybe they're a good team. When they had Trubisky, they're a solid team. You just don't know.
Schedule an LSU. Schedule an LSU.
Those teams won't agree with
you. Guess what? Then you've got your own problem. Don't complain to me.
That's the system problem. Do I think UCF could play with Clemson or Alabama? No. But do I think that they could probably play with Notre Dame, Michigan, and the next tier of five or six? I think they could give them a game. I think they could. Do I think they win?
Leroy,
no.
Could you weigh in on that?
I think they play a good game.
I'm willing to say that they are in the third tier.
You know what? Here's what I
disagree.
Here's what I will say.
What will you say?
I think, me personally, that they should go to eight teams. The five conferences get automatic bids, regardless of how bad. And then you have three wild cards. That allows you to have a team like UCF or somebody
and
like
that's
that
the only way it would
work. Every year to be in it, and we won't have these conferences. Because guess what? You're playing them in one of these New Year's Day bowls anyway if they go undefeated. Yeah. What did they play in last year?
They beat Auburn.
Yeah,
yeah.
And in the Peach Bowl maybe? Or?
Yeah, it was the Peach Bowl. It was New Year's Day.
That's a New Year's Day bowl.
And someone's like, oh, why won't Miami play UCF? Miami played UCF. They had a series with UCF.
Yeah, they did.
You sucked at the time.
Yeah, and also you have to understand Miami, you know, Miami's playing Alabama soon, Florida. They
play Miami,
State every year. Miami... Miami has plenty of good games.
Miami starts off the season.
Yeah. They start with LSU this year, Florida next year,
Florida next year, Alabama.
Yeah, no. Home Michigan
Texas,
State.
Texas A&M, okay, Michigan State.
You finally got rid of the FAMUs and the
Bethune. They're
still going to play those.
I started my season off every year playing two top 10 teams of the three games. That's why we never won a national championship.
And back in the days of Florida State, Miami, when it mattered, that was the same thing for those teams. You know, they would always play Notre Dame.
We played Notre Dame first. One year we played Notre Dame, University of Miami, and then we played UCLA.
I guess my point is UCF's problem is a system problem. They are technically doing everything they can. They're trying to schedule bigger conference teams. They're winning all of their games. I put it this way, if they don't get in, it's not going to be, to me, it's like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. No, look, teams like Michigan, the Michigan-Ohio State winner, those teams that play ridiculously hard schedules for most of the time, they're going to get more, let's just face it, more respect than when it comes to strength of schedule and things like that. I will continue to have these conversations. We'll check in more and find out more what's going on with Ryan Tannehill today, what Adam Gase has to say about his possible return as we continue here on 790 The Ticket. I can never figure out if there's a reason to your music, Robbie. Are you just like Prince?
That was just a last minute
that was
prayer.
Just hit the button and go. Well, man, so that's for Tobin tomorrow as well. Beast, Leroy just coming in his Michigan gear. Michigan.
Two days. Is this all week we're going to get this?
All week.
Why not, though?
All week.
Don't you miss that,
Beast? I put a big-ass M on my turkey.
I miss big games and all my stuff.
You didn't even mention in the headlines that Kelly Bryant's not even going to give us a chance.
Yeah.
But would you?
No, I was surprised he was going to be honest with you.
He saw Nicosi Perry play, and he was like, can't overtake that.
My whole argument with Canes fans is that college football is so much different now that you can't just go and say, this is the University of Miami, we have five championships, and get a kid to come here.
I will say this.
It doesn't work like that anymore.
It's not surprising that he kind of leaves out the University of Miami, but decides to take a trip to an SEC school like Auburn, you know, because the SEC.
Better funds.
Correct.
Better funded schools.
Correct.
Facilities and stuff. No, we're not implying
anything. No, that doesn't happen in college football.
Let me explain to you what that
funding
is.
Never happens.
That is buildings. A typical U of M fan, right?
So Michigan.
Who says the only reason why a kid wouldn't come here is because the other school's offering them more money.
No, no.
That's Miami fans. That's what you would think.
It's not more money. It's money.
It's not why a kid wouldn't come here. It's why a kid would go somewhere else.
Well, that's because your guy, Nevin Shapiro, is no longer.
And thank God for that.
Yeah, they two were better off.
Yeah. Oh!
I'd rather be 6-5 and clean.
Yes.
Damn it.
No, you wouldn't. You fired.
11-0.
Hey, they were 6-5 with Nevin Shapiro.
Listen, you fired that guy.
Robbie, shut up. Stop.
You fired that guy. Brandon Shannon.
I fired him. I had enough of players, five-star players, and God only knows how they got them recruited. Like Lance Leggett ducking away from passes, a receiver that ducked away from a pass.
Just because he got five stars on his name don't mean he could play. That meant he could play high school.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was having this conversation with someone yesterday at work about the Canes and their talent level. And every time we watch, and look, even you watched last night, Alan Bailey made a big play.
Yep.
He covered a fumble and he ran it for a touchdown. Anyways, the point is every game you see these UM guys that become solid to star NFL players. And you say to yourself, number one is half those guys weren't even as good in college, or they were good in college and it didn't make a damn difference.
Right.
So what is going on? Because you can't just say Mark Richt doesn't develop players, Randy Shannon doesn't develop players, Larry Coker doesn't develop players. I mean, these are you, can everybody
would you like,
not know how to develop players?
Would
is
you
that
act,
what the
would
last
you,
decade of
would
UM
you like
is?
The reality of what
I'm
it
not
is?
Sure what the reality
Here
is.
Here's
sure
what the reality is.
Pinky
okay.
Toe, pinky toe.
You see all these five-star guys and you're grading them on competing against inferior talent. Once they get here, it's no guarantee that they're going to be able to perform to the level of the college talent. It's the same thing going from college to the NFL. But because they have these stars in front of their name, everybody makes the assumption if he can't play, it's on the coaches, or they don't evaluate talent well, or they can't.
But what about some of these guys that go on to become very good professionals when they get the best of coaches?
Sometimes. And this is, you know, in all fairness to all people, sometimes the kid is never in his natural position. Like what happened with Miami is, in years past, you'd have an athlete and you spend a ton of time trying to get a spot where he fit in.
And he doesn't, and then he fits
and
in
he goes to the NFL
post.
And
yeah.
They say, you know what? We're going to put
corner,
him here and it works out.
You're a tight end, whatever
right,
it may be.
Right,
yeah.
Because guess what? They have already evaluated him and brought him in to do that. Whereas when you bring him in college, you let him play the position he wants in most cases. And when he doesn't work there or you realize he's not going to win any starting role, you say, hey, if you want to get on the field, you move here. And yeah. Then that happens the second or third year or whatever.
I just, you know, the frustrating part, too, is I think this is the, not that I want to delve into on this rabbit hole because we could be here all day, but I just can't get over the fact that the Canes can't find a quarterback. And maybe Nikosi is the guy. Maybe now, you know, maybe he learned his lesson this year from a maturity standpoint, as Mark Richt likes to say, and Mark Richt has talked about maturity. Obviously, that means he's had an issue with Nikosi's maturity, whether it be off-the-field stuff or learning the playbook or being good in meetings and in practices, whatever it may be. Maybe Beast, he's turned the corner, and maybe the Canes do have their quarterback. I will say this, though. Barring something spectacular these last couple of games from Perry, including the bowl, I'm not sure that we'll find out this year that you'll feel that good going into next year. You've got your guy. What makes you think you have your guy? What's the one thing you need? After a whole season of all these ups and downs with all these guys, and then the off-the-field stuff, too. Every QB except Rozier got suspended at some point.
Yeah.
I don't think the Canes are going to know what they have. And now Kelly Bryant obviously isn't coming. It's got to be from within.
And they're not really recruiting another quarterback.
You don't know that.
Well, they'll take a junior college. They'll take a grad transfer. But they, Leroy, I know who they're recruiting. Like, they're not really going after another quarterback.
You know what sucks about this? I've said this over and over again. The fact that Rozier was the quarterback is not an indictment on Rozier. It's an indictment on all the other quarterbacks.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so now to have one of them as a quarterback, you know, the fact that those other three guys weren't licking their chops saying, whoo, I got a chance to be the starter here. I'm going to do everything I can and put in the work so I can play the position I like.
You know, it's funny. You see guys, and Leroy, to your point about seeing guys when they're younger in high school and inferior competition, I remember seeing Jaren Williams. Was it the Army game? Remember what is that all-star game that high school players play?
Yeah, the Army All-American game.
Yeah, that one. That's the game that I saw the highlights of him in when the Canes recruited him. And I could be wrong, but it was one of those type of games. And I remember seeing the kid, and I thought, man, kid's big, strong. Seems like to play the part, the role, the hype, can make throws, can move. See, this kid's going to be, I think, maybe a chance to even play as a freshman. He got through a season. The only memorable thing he's done is get suspended a game, played a few snaps against Savannah State.
Yep.
And you don't really know what you have, but man, a year ago you thought you had a nice talent.
There's such a difference between, I think in high school, a lot of these kids get by on their athleticism and their abilities.
Didn't I just say that 5 minutes ago?
Beast wasn't listening, though. He was doing corporate stuff. No, but Beast, to you and Leroy's point 5 minutes ago, you guys do. You're right. You're right.
Robbie, who shot free throws?
Daniel Berry, 39 free throws in a row.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to say, Houston, we have a problem on the broadcast?
Oh, all the billboards the Lakers got for Paul George.
Now, you know what we're doing now. Having all the conversations that have come out just like that one.
Those are the ones?
Yes.
Beast has had a few of those, but I'm sure Leroy's outdone you on a few.
There's been a few times where we've each blanked out and repeated.
There's dissension in the Golden State Warriors locker room with Draymond Green.
What about Jalen Hurts? He would be a grad transfer.
No.
Wow.
No.
Wait. You're telling me right now.
You don't have a quarterback?
Jalen Hurts is not better than any quarterback you have on your roster.
I mean, he's that good because he played at Alabama.
He's a winner.
No, I don't care.
He got benched at halftime of the championship game.
I mean, he's pretty good, guys.
He's 26-2 and lost his job.
He's not accurate, though.
If Malik was playing in Alabama, he'd be Jalen Hurts.
He's not accurate. He'd fit right in with the Canes quarterbacks.
Wait, he said if Malik was playing at Alabama, he'd be Jalen Hurts.
No.
You think?
No.
I mean, he is pretty.
I'm going to leave this one alone because I like Malik. He's a nice guy. I'm not going to say anything. Don't say anything bad about him.
No, I'm not saying bad about Malik.
Let's make this blanket comment about all sports people. I'm going to say this. I don't know a lot of these guys personally. My comments are only about their performance on the field.
No, I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
And moving forward, that's it.
I'm always more careful with college guys just because they're college guys, but I get it. They're also, they understand. The one thing these college players do, they get treated sort of like professionals in the sense that, look, they got to deal with the media every day, the pressure. God knows the social media stuff and the criticism.
Wait,
and all
breaking
that stuff.
News.
Oh.
Ryan Tannehill is now throwing medium range balls past 20 yards.
That's more medium range for the Dolphins.
Hey, listen, that's all they
need.
That's
like a bomb.
That's all they need. Just keep flinging it out to the receivers on quick plays. Now, I don't know who the receivers are because everybody's hurt. I saw Devontae Parker's wearing a red jersey. He can't get hit. Kenyon Drake is wearing a red jersey.
He's been wearing a red jersey for 4 years.
Yeah, he's going to be wearing a red jersey of another team next year. I don't, you know, guys, we talked about it yesterday briefly. I don't care if Tannehill plays or not. I don't think he'll play this week, but I don't think it makes a damn difference because they're not going to slow down Andrew Luck in that offense right now. And Leroy, we talked about it off air, but the Colts, what's been the difference? Andrew Luck is back to what he was before, but he's got protection, an offensive line that he hasn't been sacked in 5 games, and a running back. He's got a running game now. That's a tough offense.
Beast.
Yes.
When we play, when the Dolphins play Green Bay, I said this, and I got mocked. I said, make Aaron Rodgers beat you, stop the run. Right? But if you go, and you can do this as a fact check. You go every week and see a team that has run for 150 yards or 30 carries or 150 yards, I'd say. They're pretty close to being undefeated. Whereas the quarterback that throws for 400 doesn't always win. Why is that? Because you got to dig a little bit deeper and understand that if you're running the ball for 150 yards, you are controlling the line of scrimmage. So it has an underlying effect. And so always go look. Anybody out there, you want to know how well the team did? Go look at the rushing yards. And I promise you, you have a 200-yard rusher. You have a 150-yard rusher. Who ran for 200 yards in the first quarter last week? Some kid ran for 200 yards in the first quarter.
First quarter?
Yes.
I mean, Aaron Jones had a big game for the Packers.
No. Who was it?
You're talking not against the Dolphins. You're talking
no, not against the Dolphins. But if you check that, just random fact check, and go look at rushing yards, that has more of an impact on a game than how many times you pass.
Look, I told you this again. We were speaking about quarterback play, and that's why I've always said Ryan Tannehill to me, when he's healthy, he's okay. He's fine. If you give him time and you run the football and you give him time to find receivers, Ryan Tannehill's fine. The same reason that Eli Manning 2 weeks ago looked like he should retire immediately. And granted, he's already at the end. But the last 2 weeks, all of a sudden, the Giants actually are protecting and opening up, you know, giving him room to throw. And oh, go figure. Now he's finding it, all those talented players he's got, and Odell and, right. and Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram and those guys. Any quarterback in the NFL could usually make throws with time. Problem is the Dolphins right now, they haven't particularly, you know, I know Frank's been running well, but Drake has been quiet. The Dolphins haven't been blocking well, too much pressure.
It's not Drake's fault.
Oh, no, he's not getting that.
He's not getting the carries or the touches.
Which is, to me, the most surprising thing of the season, by the way.
Here's why. You know, like, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record. Second and seven is why Frank Gore carries the ball all the time. Because where you are in a football team, the one thing you can't be is second and 11. And when you see Drake run the football, if it's not there, he's going to dance around a little bit and get stopped behind the line of scrimmage. Whereas you can count on Frank Gore to always get positive yards. So no matter how bad the play is, you're going to be second and eight, second and seven. He might even push it to second and six. That puts your offense in a much better position than waiting for that big play from Kenyon Drake. So, yeah, that's why he gets the ball. It has nothing to do with whether you like Kenyon Drake or not. They're just so terrified of putting Brock Osweiler in second and 11.
Yeah, and a lot of that, we talk about the innovation last night. This is where I think most Dolphin fans, and I think most are nodding their head when I say this, Adam Gase, that's what you thought Adam Gase and Parade he would be when they hired him. The innovative offensive line, the type of offense we saw last night. Now, is it a case where if Gase had that personnel, he could figure all that stuff out? Because, Beast, I asked Leroy about it. Did you see the Peter King write-up on Sean Payton and the Saints?
No.
Peter King got, like, access I've never seen for a reporter before a game.
I saw a lot of people, like, saying it was an amazing piece.
Ridiculous. It wasn't amazing in the sense, I mean, it was well-written, but it wasn't really about the writing. It was about the access. He basically was. He was with the Saints in the walkthrough and the meetings the day before, where they were talking about formations, personnel of the other team, the way they're going to attack the Eagles, and the precision and the creativity and innovation that Payton has in coming up with stuff is amazing. It's what we all wish that the team we root for, whether it's Adam Gase or whatever team you root for, you wish your head coach or offensive coordinator was like this, because it's finding the other team's weaknesses, exploiting it, finding ways to confuse them, and then going out and doing it. Everything he said in those meetings, they went out and did. It wasn't just coach be like, we're going to go out there, kick their butt, you know, blah, 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 we're going to do it. They did it. And man, it feels good if you could be a fan for just one day. Can you imagine Dolphin fans if that was Adam Gase and that was this team? And I think that's a frustrating part for most fan bases. You see the Saints, you see last night the Rams and the Chiefs do it with so much ease, and yet the Dolphins haven't scored an offensive touchdown in 9 quarters.
Two things. It was Ohio State. State gave up 200 yards rushing to one guy in the first quarter.
Oh, okay. I think it was
quarter.
NFL. Yeah. That's why I wasn't following.
That's why I screwed that up. The other thing is that, you know, you look at some of the talent that these teams had on the outside and the plays they were running, you know, with running all the Dolphins were doing that with Albert Wilson.
So, well, to an extent they were, but to an extent they were. They were trying to, that's for sure. They had some success with it.
I just sent Tobin a text, and
why is
the text
your phone flashing?
Is it because it's
it flashes when text.
Okay, in. You are now being vacation blocked. He goes, that's not a thing. -1.
You can't take away points when you're not freaking here.
Hey, if I'm in for Tobin, then I can go +1. I give Leroy back his point. Then Tobin can take it back when he comes back next week. Because you're on vacation.
Yeah.
The bottom line.
Robbie, take away a point from Tobin.
That's feasible. I like that.
-1.
Thank you.
By the way, how sad is it that we are rejoicing Ryan Tannehill throwing a ball 20 yards when Pat Mahomes can probably throw 20 yards left-handed if he wanted to?
Oh, my God.
On the money.
Yeah, I mean, there was the throw last night where he had to get rid of the football, and he was way behind the line of scrimmage and just running for his life, and he chucked it and, like, I don't know how he did it.
The
it
angles was, in which he throws are what impresses me most. Right. I mean, he could throw.
That's what. If you look at good quarterbacks, they all have that different angle. They're not all Tom Brady in picture perfect form throwing the football.
Well, Ryan Tannehill's throwing 10 yards, so we could be happy there.
Play. Sir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We are once again blessed by the people at Twin Peaks Davy.
It's holiday season.
Oh, yeah, man. Twin Peaks Davy, by the way, is going to be a big part of Riptide Music Festival powered by Ford. We have the Yuengling Twin Peaks Ultimate Sports Lodge. Right now, Leroy is dismantling a southern fried chicken sandwich with some sweet potato fries. Dismantling that thing. Right here, I got in front of me.
No bread.
The char-grilled salmon with succotash. Sweet potatoes, veggies, and tomatoes.
I thought that only happened on Looney Tunes.
No, man. We got some suffering succotash right there. The food at Twin Peaks is amazing. The beer is amazing. And we can't wait to have Twin Peaks a part of Riptide Music Festival powered by Ford. We're going to have the ultimate Yuengling Twin Peaks Sports Lodge with all the NFL games, the college games, and all this great food from Twin Peaks out there. So we thank them for coming by once again with some great food. And get out to the Twin Peaks and Davy. Leroy said he's going to get out there. You might have to get out to Twin Peaks and Davy and grab some stuff.
Yeah, it's like not too far from my house.
Yeah, might have to
get
out there.
Only time I've been there is when we did the road trip.
Yep. Might have to do it again.
That was quite impressive, Beast.
Yeah.
You did the whole, you were doing the radio spot.
Yes.
But you were actually doing it on camera.
That is correct.
That was impressive.
I'm multi-talented.
True professional.
No, look.
Hey, do I get my do I get a end of the year once sports final invite?
Of course you can. It's an open invite. It's an open invite.
No, it's not.
You've been on the show before.
One time last year after the year. Yeah.
There's only two people banned. Is it two people? There are two people I think banned from our show.
During the break, I'll guess.
No, take a guess now. Who do you think are the two people?
I don't want to guess.
And they're not media members, so you don't have to worry about that part that you're like calling out a media member.
Hurricanes players?
Two people that, only my boss, I think I've told you these stories, my boss at Channel 10 is not a huge sports fan, which is good for me in the sense that he trusts my decision-making
right.
And data.
Probably doesn't stay out of your way.
I'm guessing they're fighters.
20 years, one of them is a fighter.
Yeah.
Actually, they're both involved in fighting.
Yeah,
Bobby,
yeah, we know because
good.
Every time we have-
They curse.
Because every time we have an MMA-
We have to record
MMA
them.
Guy on, we have like seven
them,
dumb buttons.
One
situations.
Of them Tobin loves. I'll tell you that right now.
Tyson Fury?
No.
You're going.
Shannon Briggs.
I love Shannon. I know him for years and did story with him years ago and throughout the years. And he came on to promote that fight a couple years ago. It was the one at the Hard Rock, I think.
Yeah.
And he, of course, being Shannon, he took his clothes off on set. And my boss. He took his clothes off on set.
Like all of his clothes?
I mean, he was practically just in his underwear. Which is, you know, when you have Lori Jennings and Calvin Hughes and you think of the history of Ann Bishop and Dwight Lauderdale, you really don't want naked men standing on your set like as a promotion. So my boss is like, why did you let him take off his shirt? I'm like, he would have kicked my ass. What am I going to tell him to put his shirt back on? I can't say anything. So Shannon's not allowed back on. I don't think he knows that. Number two is also a boxing person.
Who?
Who is probably the most famous boxing person alive?
Floyd Mayweather?
Outside of Mike Tyson. I'm not a boxing person, not boxer. When you think of boxing people.
Don King.
Yep.
Don was on the show many times, especially when we had Monday night shows. But he was back on maybe 5 years ago, and he came on, and it was the United Nations because he had 1,700 flags in his hands. So he couldn't even get the promotion of the fight because he kept shuffling the flags around. And my boss was like, never again, never again. So, yeah, Don's not welcome back on the show. I love Don. He could always come if it was up to me, but no.
Only in America.
Only at Channel 10, or not at Channel 10. Anyways, here on 790, Will Mansell filling in for Tobin for another day. And let's see, one more after today. Beast and Lee were going to be busy eating Twin Peaks during this segment.
Yep.
No.
Well, so, the segment's basically, we can make this a quick one.
This is a quick, and then we can come back with headlines.
Come back with headlines, reset everything.
Why don't we do that?
Then we got 15 minutes of heat after that.
Yes. Why don't we do that? We'll reset. We'll update you on what's
going on.
Wait,
Robbie, are we
practice.
Picking today? Or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
We got to draw today at the end of the show.
Draw today, pick tomorrow.
Okay, so like at the that. Last segment, we're going to draw.
Okay, so how about that? We come back, we'll give you a Tannehill Dolphins update. We'll talk some heat, 15 minutes of heat after that. We'll draw, and we'll talk a little bit of everything else in between.